to be praised. So let's lift up your hands and praise the Lord.
Why
don't you lift up your hands and praise the Lord?
Just praise the Lord.
Praise Him for His mercy. Praise Him for His love. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. So let's lift up your hands and praise the Lord.
One more time.
Oh, why don't you lift up your hands and praise
the Lord? Just lift them up.
Praise Him for His mercy. Praise Him for His love. For great is the Lord, and so greatly to be praised. So lift up your hands and praise the Lord.
Let's go one more time.
Oh, why don't you lift up your hands and just praise the Lord?
Just praise the Lord.
Just praise Him for His mercy and praise Him for His love. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. So let's lift up your hands and praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Good to be here one more time this morning. Come on, Sister Mel.
Amen. That's the clock.
Good morning, buddy. It is so good to be back.
Amen.
I am just full, happy to be here.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to get away. It's good to be back. But I'm glad I chose this. I'm glad He chose me. I'm just so blessed. I don't know what I have to say. I just want to be in front of this body. Talk louder. Okay. I just want to be in front of the body and see your faces because I missed you all.
Amen.
I love you all. It's so good to be back. It's good to be missed. I missed you. I really did. But this word goes with me when I'm away. I just asked for God to bring me back so I could get back to the house. And it's so different when I go out now.
Amen.
I was sharing with Clarice. My friends leave me at their house anymore. I'm like, no, go ahead. I'm good. And it's just so different because I don't want to go out there. I want to be in the peace with myself. And it's so, so different from where I came from. And I'm just happy about that. And it's, you know, although I want them to see a difference, and I was trying to force that, I don't have to force that anymore. I don't have to force it anymore. And it just feels so good because I can think about something else. That's coming natural now. And so spending more time in the Bible and listening and letting Him talk to me is what my focus is now. And it just felt so good just to come in and sit on the bench this morning. You have no idea. Because, you know, I was down last week, and I was like, Lord, just let me get back to the house.
Yes.
So I can see the body.
Amen.
And I'm just happy to be here.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Warren. It is good to be in the house. I know. Just recapping. Sorry. Something that I want to apply in my life more. Brother Jay spoke last Wednesday, and something that struck me. Get to the house. Get to the house as much as you can, physically. Amen. Read your Bible. Amen. And pray. Amen. Yes, Lord. You know, I haven't always been doing that, but you know what? It's a new day. We can start, you know.
Amen.
But I thank God I have a desire to be here, and that I, you know, and it's my choice. That's the beautiful thing. You know, I could have choose to stay in bed. Believe me, my flesh just wanted to roll back over and go back to sleep. But you know, no, there's something on the inside that's pulling me to come here because I need the word. I can't live without it. I look forward to hearing it. You know, so when the time comes, I want to be here. You know, that's and I know the scripture does say that, you know, we ought to be gathering ourselves more as that day approaches. We know that day is approaching. I mean, if it isn't already here, I mean, this is where we need to be because we need to fortify ourselves, you know, get that. Because all it takes is one revelation. And Lord forbid, I miss that service. You know, I don't think I will. No, I won't miss that service. Let's put it that way. Devil, you're a liar. And I am just so thankful to be here. And I have a song that I've been wanting to do.
Yes.
Amen.
And Brother Mike, you asked me if I ever get nervous, and I said, I'm nervous. I had to go in the back there. But this is something we haven't done in a while, and so Lord put it on my heart, and I kind of like, I need to practice that song. Well, yesterday I was just going through some papers, and this song just fell right in my lap. Okay, and I said, well, okay, it's time. So you know what? Let's do it real quick.
Let's just keep singing that. God of my presence, God of my future, you hide my story, you hold it all together,
God of my presence, God of my future, you write my story,
hold it all together.
So I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord, and I'm confident that as seasons change, your faithfulness remains.
Verse 2.
You are the Alpha and your Omega. You're in the middle. You hold it all together. You are the Alpha and your Omega. You're in the middle. You hold it all together. So I see the goodness of the Lord, and I'm confident that as seasons change, your faithfulness remains.
Amen. Go ahead, Sister Moore.
Again, that didn't count. That's a pre-praise.
Mm. All right.
Amen.
Sister Jen, go ahead.
Good to be here. I was getting ready. Yeah, I wanted to roll over too. Cold. But anyways, getting ready, and I swear I heard a knock at the door. I've heard it before on Sunday mornings. So I take that as a invitation, a reminder.
Amen.
Thank you. That
I love that.
Calling me, you know, when get low. So I need it. I need the word, every word. And I try to listen all the time, really, though, to every word, because
Amen.
You miss a word, even somebody's talking to you or a song or the word, it throws it off. So just listen.
I'm going to jump in here for a second because, you know, I got to go on record. You know,
know, I want to be identified with this body because I just love these testimonies and I love what we get here. You know, she said something. She said, I heard a knock at the door. I got an invitation. Brother Jay said, you need to worry about getting invited. People wonder what's going to be on the menu when we get there, how your new body's going to look, how long my eyelashes are going to be. And that is not even the focus. The focus is you need to get the word now. You should be eating now. You should be in the land now. There's no excuses, like Brother Jay said. Pastor Moore's not looking for any excuses. Everyone in here has a job to do. And I just got to ask for forgiveness for the body. You know, if I shortchanged you, and, you know, done anything to hold you back or put a stumbling block in front of you, I just want to ask you to forgive me because, you know, I'm human and, you know, yeah. Thanks, brother. But, you know, I can do better. And I feel like these services, it only takes one service for me to hear that word and turn around and do better. So I have to be here because I need my next marching orders. I need the next word for the next week. I can't go into a new week because, you know, God's mercies are new and renewed every single day. And I can't go into a brand new week with yesterday's thinking or even yesterday's answers. I need fresh answers every single time. And it's funny because sometimes there's things that get stacked up through our week. And then I find myself always saying, you know, I got one more service before I got to face the music. And I love it because I come here and get exactly what I need. And then I go out there and it manifests. And you overcome by the words of your testimony. Just like the sister said this past Wednesday. And that is so true because there's no other way to overcome. You got to speak it first and then stand out on it. You got to step out. Every single time, you got to step out. It's what you need to do. And so I'm just excited to be here. God bless you guys.
Amen. I was thinking about the word this morning and, you know, how the importance of the word. You know, we're only knowing by way of his word. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I know him. I love God. You don't know his word? You don't. You don't, yeah. It's like, you got to know what you're looking for. And the word is the only thing that describes him. You know, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. And it's forever been the same. And I think about us today, how we see him so plainly. And the reason we see him so plainly is because the word is so plain and so simple. And he's revealed it to his bride. And that's the thing I rejoice in always. When I say I love him, I say I love the word. You know, and I say I got a love for God, I got a love for God's word. That's the thing that draws me. And, you know, think about how that, you know, in God was everything. And then God poured everything into Christ. And then Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. You know, there were those in that day trying to get to the Father, but not going through the Son and getting nothing, you know. And no man comes to the Father except my Father drawing. You know, so there's so much involved there. And then all that Christ was, he poured into the bride. And his people out here going to church, more sincere, more dedicated, living a cleaner life than you. And Brother Bram said, getting nothing. Getting nothing. Just might as well be a lodge. Yeah. And I'm thinking how privileged we are to have the word of God in our midst. Yeah. You know, they're talking about, you know, love seeing these people, love seeing these faces. Yeah. That's the face of God. That's, exactly. That's where God's manifest. He dwells in the praises of his people. You won't bring him on the scene, praise him. Yeah. He'll be right there. You won't bring him on the scene, think on his word. When I think on the goodness of Jesus, yes. When I think on his word, that describes how good he is, you know. That will bring him on the scene so quick. And I'm thankful to understand that. You know, that come by way of an understanding. And I was also thinking about how Peter, when he walked on the water, you know, he had to wait till Jesus bid him come. He had to say, I want to come. And then he had to wait and said, Lord, you bid me come. And, you know, so it just goes back to the more I surrender, the sweeter it grows. You know, the more I give, the more he gives to me. You know, and I think, Lord, how much more I want to give. They're singing that song when I come in. One of my absolute favorite songs, I Surrender All. And, you know, because it takes everything off of it. You know, it takes me trying to do anything, takes the devil getting in the way, I just surrender. You know, and that's all really a believer can do. Surrender to the Word of God and receive the Word of God, and then He will bring it. He'll quicken it. He'll make it live.
Amen.
You know, you're talking about, I just want to express Him just with every heartbeat I express Him.
That's right.
You know, He dwells within me.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful to see that. You know, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really put it into words, but what God has done in this day, what God has done with this body.
Amen.
In particular. I don't know about other bodies.
Right.
God's all over the world. God's got a worldwide body. I know that. But I know what He's done here.
That's right.
And more of that, I know what He's done here.
Yes.
And that is everything to me. I was saying something, Brother Moore, Friday, maybe Saturday. But anyway, I said something. You know, just the other day, I was driving down the road, and I said, Lord, does anybody see this way I see this? Does anybody see how great this is? What a rest. And you try to think about it, try to put it into words, and you just can't do it. You know, it's beyond a feeling. It's beyond a word. It's beyond even an expression. You see with your natural eye.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a realness and such a rest. You know, and I think, you know, God in my future, God in my present, God in my past,
right?
God that has led me, has given me power to become a son of God.
Amen.
Has given me that seed that could be quickened. And I think, Lord, how You've done it all, you know, and how You placed all that in our hands.
Amen.
You know, it's truly the Spirit and the Bride.
Yeah.
Say, come.
Yeah.
You know, this is a love affair, as we were talking about, you know. It goes both ways.
Amen.
You know, if it's a one-way love, it just won't work. Won't work, don't work. There's no way it can be perfect. But when you love Him, He loves me. And the more you love Him, the more He loves you. The more you love Him, the more He loves you, you know. It's just a constant surrender. It's just like in a natural marriage. You know, when you get older, you don't have to say a lot. You don't have to worry about a lot. You don't have to get upset about a lot, you know. It just all rolls into just a love that you just have to be there to know what it is. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for this love. Amen. Well, yeah? Okay. Come on, AJ.
Amen.
I'm happy to be here today.
Amen.
This is a rest, Brother Don. You know, you go out through the week. I've had a couple stressful weeks at work. There's been some stuff going on that I have to head up, and people aren't very happy about it. Never happy about change. But, you know, I'm doing what I was taught to do here, and I'm getting behind my boss and his vision and, you know, setting the pace and doing what I can. So, but it is a rest to come here and just take a break and to relax and be yourself and let the walls down. And to take in that word, it's just healing.
Yeah.
So, I want to play. It might be on the iPad. What a Beautiful Name. Is it in G on there? Okay, I'm gonna play it in G because that's my range. Hang on, just a second. That's the wrong version. Here we go.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in You. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. And death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. You are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, now in the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
You have a testimony? Go ahead, Brother Colton.
So I want to get up here today because I got presents yesterday. And I'm thankful for my grandma and how she just is awesome. She just spends a lot of time with us, and she comes down here almost every weekend. Well, not every weekend, but, like, you know what I mean. And I wanted to say I wish people were grateful for their presence, what they get, how life is, and for God. I wish people were thankful for what they have, and I just wish people were thankful. So I just want to say, be thankful for what you got. Be thankful for God. Be thankful for what you have. So I just want to get up here and say, be thankful. Be thankful.
Amen. All right. The Bible says, whatever state you find yourself, be content. So, I thank God for everything He's done for us. He's been good to us. He's given us Word, the revelation of that word, you know, not just the Bible I'm packing around, but actually an understanding of that Bible. Amen. And we thank God for it. And so you guys can be seated if you want. I'm actually going to do a couple things here. We got Pastor Moore's birthday coming up. And we're thankful for our pastor. His birthday is actually December 19th, so it'll be in 4 days here, but we want to do a few things for him. We got a couple things lined up here, but we thank him for everything he does. We know that without him, we wouldn't be where we are today. And I know for a fact that each and every one of us could get up here and talk and say kind words. But for the sake of time, I've limited it to a few. I thought we're going to get a few of our elders up. And I got them, and then we're going to get some family members up. Notice how I did that state. The family members we won't call old. We'll call them family members.
That's right.
But what I want to do is let a few people get up and say some things about Brother Moore. And so what we're going to do is start with Brother Ted there. And Brother Ted, go on ahead and come on up. And after you, Don Deskins, you'll be after him. And Brother John, you will be after Brother Ted. Then I'll get back up after that.
I need to do that for me first. Seems I was the youngest of the three, in a sense. Not much. Just 6 months from you. John's a little older. John's been around a long time. He's been longer than a lot of us here. Been around Brother Moore for quite a while. I go back to remember things that Brother Moore has done for years and years and years. I remember back in 1981, before I even came in this message. Well, before that, old Warren came in and he says, hide everything. We're in a fraternity house. He says, brother, come in here. So way back then, he had a testimony. Before I even knew him, before even 1981, he came in and everybody was scattering around, you know. We're supposed to have all this stuff going on, the worldly stuff, you know. I don't have to bring two more, right? But anyway, it just, what? That's college stuff, yes. But it just shows you, way back then, he was the same as he is now. Always been respected. That's a big deal. It really is. Because it is your life that is important. It really is. And how you present yourself to other people. It is very important. And it shows you way back in 81 that he had already did that. But that's important. And that's just something that I remember and I kept thinking. I said, well, I don't know what to say because I'm not really good at all this. But I did want to let you know that from 1981, since I've met him, he's not really changed that way at all. And that is a great testimony. Better than anything, because he's not moved much. In one sense, he's not moved. Another sense, he's moved a lot. Depends on what you want to look at. But anyway, I just want to let you to that point, because it is more important than you realize how you live. Because it's not that it's your salvation. It's not at all. But other people see that. They don't see what's inside you. They don't see the God in you. They only see the God that you portray. And that's important to portray the right things because other people do not understand. They won't see God that way. They don't see God in this. They see God what you do. And that's very important. And I can't stress that more than anything. And I appreciate my pastor. He's come a long way. And we've come a long way. And I just, so many things you can go back in memories and stuff that we've done together. And it's like, that was what we did back when we first came in. We got together. We had out walking, and which is now Meadowlands. And we walked on that old place, and we stayed together. That's what we really, really did is we stuck together. We all talked to you, said, where are we going? What are we going to do? We all got together and we did it. So, and John opened his doors for his house, and we went there many a times to go be over there at Marchmont. And I just want to let you know that, basically it's what you do. Make sure you're doing what you should do. And I see that of him. He's done it all I've ever known him. And I'm done.
See Brother Moore over there sitting. That shows the right spirit, really. That shows the humility. And that's You know, that's what this word brings, is humility. I remember when we first come in, I remember he first came. I was already going here for a couple of years, and going down over the hill. I remember sitting on the fence there talking to him. You know, after he come in, he was showing an interest in this, and stopping Brother Childers right down in front of the pulpit every day. What about this? What about that? You know, and he'd sit there for an hour sometimes. Sister Benita would be out there. Come on, I'm hungry. But we're sitting there down there on the fence. I was explaining to him about the church ages, what I knew of it, you know. Because that's the first thing I saw, you know. Look what God has done for the last 2,000 years. That's the first really understanding revelation that God gave me. And then I watched him since then, you know, and he just, I said, wait a minute, I'm still trying to figure this out. And he'd gone, you know. And to the point where he was going to South Carolina and hit me with a question. And he hit me with a question, you know, I was talking about this revelation, you know, and come to an understanding, come to a birth, you know. He said, what are you looking for? And I couldn't answer it. I didn't know what I was looking for, you know. It's some kind of feeling, some kind of something, you know. But that right there just got me thinking in so many things that he has said down through the ages. Seems like, anyway. And you know, it seems like it's been a long walk. Seemed like it was just yesterday. You know, we talk about things and we'll remember a song or something. And haven't we sung it? No, we ain't sung that for 30, 40 years. Well, it seemed like just yesterday we thought on that song. So, you know, when you step into eternity, it's like that. The things that are eternal seem like just ever-present. But I so much appreciate Brother Moore in so many ways. I consider him to be my just closest friend. I mean, you couldn't make a difference between brothers, you know, but a closest friend, one that I can go to anytime, day or night. He's telling you the truth. I've put him to the test. You can call him all hours, whatever. If he's busy, he'll get back with you. And you can use him. You accuse me of using him all the time because I'll be driving along and I'll be thinking about things and I'll, you know, be fellowshiping with God down the road, but then I wanted to God with skin on him. So I'll call him up, see if he's busy. And I said, I want to use you for half an hour. I got to drive ahead of me, you know, and sit there and talk to him. And I try not to bother him too much because he's got a lot on him. And you know, I know other people pull on him a lot and put burden on him. I don't want to be a burden at all. But if anything, I want to be a blessing. I want to push him. I want to hold his hands up. Like we were talking the other day, you know. He said, why don't we put your hands up? I said, no, we just hold your hands up. High as my get is just holding yours up. But it's been a long journey, yet a short journey, a beautiful journey, and ups and downs and ins and outs. And we've learned together. We've grown together. We've sat under Brother Childers together, you know. And you could see where God was grooming him all the way through. You know, even when he come here, when he took off with this thing and stood on it so strong, you know, from the very beginning, you know, and you think, wow. And it was encouraging to me. You know, others around who are not here anymore got mad at him. Who's this fella? We've been here for 30 years, you know. And like they used to say, we've been in the way for 30 years. And he said, that's your problem. You've been in the way. Get out of the way. And Brother Children, Brother Moore come here, and he immediately got out of the way. And it was God. It was God. And he got to a place where I've sat under him more than I've sat under Brother Childers. And Brother Childers had a great bearing. You know, cut my teeth there, you know. But I've sat under Brother Moore through my adulthood. After I come to a place where I knew Mortis was right. I sat under him and he, huh? That's right. That's right. My adult teeth. Yeah. And I put away the childish things, wondering this, that, and the other, you know, where he got me to a place where I could stand. You know, and that's what every pastor, the greatest glory for a pastor is to see a congregation that stands on what he preaches. And I try to do that. Very much. And I wrote a few things down. I said, how could I describe Brother Moore? And it all goes back to the Word of God. And I see a balance. Always a balance. Never too far this way, never too far that way. Always a balance. But that's a pastor. You know, and that's what a pastor needs. I wouldn't have that. I've told myself that. No way I could do it. No way I could do it. I'd be running people off, and I'd be trying to hold something that God didn't want, and I'd be a mess. But that gift that God's given him to be a pastor, that's what we're seeing. Long suffering. Yeah. I don't know about y'all, but he's been long suffering. Patient. Not in a hurry. Got all day. You know, he's not pushing, he's not pulling, he's not, you know, if you want it, it's right there. You got all the patience in the world. Boldness, you know, takes a revelation to have that contrast of a boldness and yet a humbleness, you know. I remember Brother Childers saying one time, I remember it as long as I live, they accused him of being not humble, not loving. And he said, I'm sitting there rebuking their socks off. He said, I'm the humblest man you ever seen. But he was humble before the Word. Yeah. And that makes you bold. Amen. You know what you're talking about. He's got a serious love for the truth. He's a true follower. He's a true leader. Amen. He's unafraid. Nothing scares him. You know, and saying that, his flesh like any other flesh. But the Word of God, he prevails with. You know, that's the prevalent thing in his life. That's his focus. And above everything else, you know, when he says he's scared to get up in front of people, that's true. You take him on a trip or something, he's the quietest man you ever seen. You take him before your family sometimes, he's just quiet. He's got nothing to show, nothing to... Unless he feels led, he's just a church mouse. And he likes it that way. He's just quiet. Don't want to get out there. He's backwards in that sense. But when God gets in the mix, he'll fight a buzzsaw. Bold as a lion, you know. It's a good balance. He's level-headed. He's understanding. Because he deals with all kinds of things. Sometimes he let me see a little bit what he deals with, and I think, wow. You know, most of us probably don't see anything he deals with in that manner, you know, because he don't go on it. He just deals with it and goes on. He's understanding anything you bring to him. I don't care how crazy it might sound. He'll understand. And he'll deal with you according to the Word of God, according to what God deals with. God tells him to do, and he's not backwards. You don't have to go off and pray about it. He's got an answer right there for you. And sometimes you think, oh, wait a minute, I haven't told you all the details. Doesn't matter. God sees the details. God sees around corners, and that's God's man. It's God's mouthpiece. He's sober-minded. He's all things to all people. I don't care if you're sitting in jail. I don't care if you just went through a divorce. I don't care if you're fussing with your wife. I don't care what. He's all things to all people, you know. And that takes God to do. Really does. I sat out in my parking lot, or my driveway one time, talking to him. And I was talking about something that made sense to me. I said, this and this and this, that just makes sense. He said, to you? I said, no, that makes good common sense. He said, to you? You know. But he realizes that where people are, you know, people have real problems, you know. And maybe I said, hey, suck it up, get with it, you know. And he's going the extra mile, getting right where they're at, and leading them up like gently, you know, as a pastor should, as you know, as God would, because and I look at myself and all the crazy ideas I've had and all the things and how he's gently just the words is fitly spoken and it helped me. It wasn't a hard rebuke, you know, it wasn't a pat you on the back, but it was a word that did some good. You know, and this is what I've seen out of it, you know. And from other people, I see the results of it. Look at our church. Strong. Strong. You know, and that takes wisdom. He's a true friend. I'd say I could call him anytime. And he's a true friend. And he's humble. He's not gonna get all up in your mustache. he's gonna say what needs to be said, and he's not gonna be backwards about it. So he's gonna be bold, but he's gonna be humble. He's gonna be honest. He's gonna be, and it'll be according to the word. The only thing I've seen in Brother Childers, and I also seen in him, you know, if he tells you something, you can guarantee it, Brother Brown said. If he preached something old pulpit, you can guarantee there's a quote somewhere. Brother Brown said that. And that's really something, because there's so many people that go out on the limb, and we've seen even here so many people that get a little bit of knowledge and they just want to run with it, and before long they run off the rails. But he's been a true friend to me. He's been a true friend to my family. He's been a true friend to my church. And he has stood against everything for this truth. And you couldn't ask for any more. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I guess it's a blessing to be the old man. I get the privilege of talking about Brother Moore. I pray I don't get emotional. I pray. Lord, help me. You know, I guess in a couple weeks, it'll be 45 years. In a couple weeks, it'll be 45 years that I've known this man. You know, I knew him as Nate before I knew him as Pastor Moore. And I've been behind the curtain. I've seen the man. And I've seen how real he is. And, you know, we can say so many things. I pray I can stay short, because I know he'll want to get to the Word, because that's always the most important thing, man. It's the Word of God. But this man here, as soon as he came to this message, he hit it running. He hit it running. And I've told him several of these things before. You know, a young man had just come to the church. Brother Moore was just here for about 6 months and already made enough of an impression that the man said, if I could be like anybody, I would be like Brother Moore. And, you know, Brother Moore has always been an example to us. You know, we've all had our what are you looking for moment with him. All had it. I don't care how old you are or how much you were in the truth. You've all had our what are you looking for moment with him. He's always directed us to the Word. I've seen him open his home. He has opened his home to people. God bless Sister Moore. Because he's opened his home to people that were not easy to open them to. He showed people that are hard to love. He has done so much. He has said, if they can live with it, I can live without it. I've watched people walk on him. I've watched people take from him. And I've gotten wound up, and he's set me down. And he has shown me that to be the stepping stone so people can reach higher, he's lived it. He's lived everything he says. He has anything he said across his pulpit's true. He's come out in the snow. He's come all the way an hour to get me. Snow that was as high as the car in the middle of the night of a blizzard. He's done for so many. How many families has he gone to? How many families is he a brother to or a sister to? How many funerals has he gone to and said the right words and showed love and lifted people up? How many times have you just been down and out somebody, and Brother Moore would be the one to see it, and Brother Moore would be the one to step forward and say something out of love. He opened his house to all these young people. And then they turn around and say all the things they say. And he opened his home with love. You know, they have 10 or more young kids tearing up your house, eating your food. And he did all that. He's done so much. He's lived a life in always the Word of God. And as close as I got to him, as close as I got to him, if I stepped out, if I said anything wrong, he would lay me out just as quick as anyone else. Because he's true to the Word. That Word is the only thing that matters to him. You know, he and I go back. I was the best man at his wedding, the best man at my wedding. I was the birth of all of his kids. He's the birth of all my kids. I was at his daddy's funeral. He's at my mom and dad's funeral. He's done that for all of us. And that's the thing about him. I can call myself a great friend to him. And I wouldn't even want to say best friend because he's friends with so many. But he does the same thing for everybody. He's real. He is so real. There's so much I could say. There's so much that I know. There's so much that I've seen. And I know everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. We know him as a pastor. We know him as a brother. We know him as a person. And he goes through the same things we go through. He goes through exactly the same things. But the man has always held the Word. He's always given to it. And when we go someplace and we get to go to a church and we get to kick our heels up and have a good time, he has the pressure of bringing the Word forth, and he's just something else. And I want to get out of the way because I know he's itching, and I know that Sister Moore wants to say something, and who else, I don't know, but I know Brother Moore's going to say, I want to get the Word out.
Amen. We're going to get there here. Sister Mel, we'll save you for another time. And so with that said, Sister Moore, we're going to get you up and let you do your thing here.
So I'm not going to be before you long. I don't believe in scripting it, but sometimes it's just hard to, like brother, all y'all did good. So here I go. This morning, I tried to think how to put together a few words of how to commemorate a person that has had such a great influence in my life, and it's a lot harder than you could possibly imagine, as words seem to fly away as soon as you get up here. So, copying off of Mel, I wrote it down. 40-some-odd years ago, a young man walked into this church following a message that struck his heart and never left. Since then, he has been a greatly used of God with a ministry that has impacted lives of the world over, not only being of invaluable help to our former pastor, Earl Childers, our congregation and pastors in the Philippines, Africa, New Zealand, Haiti, to name a few, and I know I've left out some. But in the beginning, he sat down at the piano, which he didn't even know how to play at first, and sang a simple song, little song, that some of you old heads might remember. So, thank you, Pastor Moore, for being all that you are to this body and all that you are to me. And oh, yeah, happy birthday.
Okay. This is a little song that he sang.
sang. At first, I thought he wrote it, but that's not true. But this is for you. Huh? Speak nice and loud, Chris. Okay, Chris. Give me more. Oh, wait. Oh, let me get some rock. Okay. Minister's got to get a drink of water. Violin's got to have rock. This little song he sang, and I think the words of it are precious. And then, so I knew I couldn't sing. And so I said, well, so I pulled Crystal in, and she's going to say the words. So God bless you. I pray. This comes from the heart, you guys.
Yes.
Everything they said about Pastor Moore is absolutely true. And he has rebuked me 10 million times, but he's always been right. And
amen.
I thank God that God put him in my life. Because nobody else could put up with me, my crazy self. But isn't it funny how God knows exactly what to do? He knows who to put with people. And it's true, we're opposite. He's Mr. Neat, and I'm maybe not so much. But I thank God.
Amen.
We made it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We made it.
Amen.
Well, we've been through some storms and some trials, and like they said, we had all kinds of people come through the house. All kinds of things. But I'm glad it's been a good journey, Pastor Moore. Thank you, Nate. Okay. Well,
little flowers. Never worry. When the wind begins to blow, and they never, never cry. When the rain begins to fall, though it's wet and all so cold, soon the sun will shine again, and they'll smile unto the world for their beauty to behold. So let it rain, let it rain, let it pour. Let those old troubles keep knocking at my door. If we would learn life lesson, right from wrong, it will surely help us to be strong. When the clouds begin to gather, and that wind begins to blow, little flowers, they don't complain, though they are tossing to and fro. Well, I guess I've learned the secret. They don't fret, because they know if it never, never rains, then they will never, never grow. So let it rain, let it rain, let it pour. Let those old troubles keep knocking at my door. If we learn the right from wrong,
it will surely help us to be strong. So let it rain, let it rain, let it pour. I said, let those troubles keep knocking at my door. If we learn the right from wrong, it will surely make us strong.
I know we took some time there, but we do love our pastor, and we're thankful for him. Brother Moore, we wish you a happy birthday.
Amen.
And what we're going to do is tonight we're going to come back, and we got a gift for you, and a card we'll read for you at Kelly tonight. But I think for the time we took, we're going to change the order of the service, and we're going to get him up. And let's think, the more that I surrender, the more he takes control.
More that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more he takes control. The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Sing it again. The more that I surrender, just let it go, the lighter my load. The more that I release my care, the more you take control. The more the more you lift me up, every day I live, Lord, I love you more. The more that I surrender, yes, the more that I surrender, the
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we're so grateful for this opportunity to be gathered together in this house of worship one more day. It's a privilege to be gathered with your people here to speak on your word, on your behalf. And Lord, I appreciate all the well wishes and the things that they brought forth here today. And Lord, I know it's not me. I know it's just been you in this walk. And I can't take credit for anything other than the fact that, Lord Jesus, I chose to walk with you. And from that walk, from that decision, you've done all the work. God, we come here this morning, those that are out that may be sick, ask you to, Lord, touch their bodies. They have a need. Spiritually, Lord, we have a need. We ask you to touch us here today. Those of us that are gathered here this morning, ask you to speak to our hearts. Lord, I've opened up the Bible, but Lord, without you opening up the Word, we can still not have an understanding. But God, as we've opened up the Word, I pray you open up our hearts that we can receive you, because that's the most important thing out of everything we get an understanding. We thank you for this place. We thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that, Lord, the words that are spoken this morning, it'll be by you and not by me. That you can move us, both speaker and the hearers, out of the way. That you can speak to our hearts today. What a privilege it is to be in your presence. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I want to read before you sit down. Thank you for all of those overly kind words. And good to be. Hey, Dylan. Good to see you. Good to see all of you. Thank you for the birthday wishes. I guess I'm officially getting old now. I'll be 65. That's time for Social Security benefits and everything else starts kicking in. I wasn't worried about that at 20. And so now I got to see where it's going to land me, because I have no idea. I didn't care then, and I don't care now, really. Amen. If you turn me over to Jeremiah chapter 16, I have two verses here I want to read, and then I'll let you sit down. And we'll move on from there. Jeremiah chapter 16, starting at verse 8. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and to drink. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. I've been thinking on this all week, and I wanted to start here. Here, Jeremiah was dealing with Israel, and Israel was hard-headed. They were a rebellious people, sort of like now. As much as God did for Israel, Israel did not want God. As much as God proved who he was to them, how he saved them, how he walked with them, he did everything he could for them. Think about mankind, how much God has done even up to this day. God has done so much, and man does not appreciate it. And here he was over here in Jeremiah. And I could go back to the 15th. I saw something in chapter 15 that I thought was interesting, and I'm not want you to turn there, but just for your note, chapter 15, verse 6, at the bottom, the last end of that verse, God said, I am weary of repenting. I'm tired of repenting. God got tired. God got tired of repenting. Because every time he turned around, and we're reading in the Old Testament at home, and every time they turn around, Israel was rebelling against God. You would think that they would sit there and let God talk to them and help them, and they would just receive it. But Israel, they get a king, and this king would displease God. God would slay the king. He'd change it from his family, put it in another king's hands. King would raise up, promising to serve God for a while. After all, he'd turn to his idols. God would slay him. He'd raise up another king, and they did this time after time. And by the time Jeremiah got on the scene, God was weary. He was tired. He said, I'm tired of this. You don't think God can get tired?
Come on.
This wicked generation, this world that we're living in, do you think that God's not tired? When God got tired of Israel, he said, I'm going to not only take the groom, but I'm taking the bride.
Amen.
I'm going to rid this world of all of it. But I'm not going to hurt my groom and my bride. I'm taking him with me. I'm taking her with me. But he told Jeremiah to let him know, hey, I'm taking it away. I've had enough. Sooner or later, God's going to have enough. Do you know this world is in such a shape now that man is just crazy in his thinking. He has no common sense left. They don't understand anything, and because they're gotten away from the Word of God, this world is on a spiral, downhill spiral, out of control. And there's no turning back for it. And God knew that the world would get in this condition. And Brother Branham, he made a comment and he made a statement. He said that this generation, this country, do you realize after 1956, this country went downhill? They headed downhill after 1956 and has never recovered. And will never recover. This world is on its way out. And if you're looking to the world for help, for direction, for hope, you're not going to get it out there. They are not going to teach your kids to love God. They're not going to teach your house how to run it according to the Word of God. They don't even want it to run. They don't want a head of a home. Can't have a head of a home. Everybody's got rights. It's gotten to such a place, you know, our laws. Brother Childers said it years ago. He said, "We our own laws tie our hands." And because we think everybody have rights, we just let everything go. But what happens when you let everything go, it doesn't go for the better. It goes for the worse. When you let your household down and accept anything and accept everything and let everything under the sun in your household, you're not making it better. You're making it worse. Matter of fact, you won't hardly recover. Outside of the grace of God, you won't recover. There's things you can do to your kids that they'll never recover from. There's things you do to your spouse that they'll never recover from. There's a way you can run your home that you'll never recover from. It's hard to get things back in line. You let kids out of get kids out of whack with the Word of God, and it's hard to get them back. You get a home loose, it's hard to get it back. You say, well, I want my home to be free. We all have rights. I am weary with repenting. That's what God said. Tired of trying to get it right. And the reason it's not right is because you're not trying to base it on the Word of God. And people are trying to base their homes and their lives and their direction, their decisions on everything other than the Word of God. And it's turning it into a mess. Amen. That's why the world's in the condition it is now. They have forsaken God. This country has forsaken God. It's not going to get any better. Our generation after generation after generation are getting worse. They said World War II generation was the greatest generation there was. And that's true. Because that's the generation that turned down the Word of God. And after that generation turned down the word of God, every generation since then has gotten worse and worse and worse. And you know it. You know it as a parent is worse. You can see it. It doesn't take a prophet. Look at what was going on in school when you went to school. And look at what's going on in school now. And when you went to school, it was bad. When you went to school, they had already changed and moved away from the Word of God. And so now you're trying to think that it's going to be okay. It is not going to be okay. Outside of the Word of God, it is not going to be okay. And I wish I could tell you differently, but when God gets tired, He moves the groom and the bride out. Jesus said over in St. John 10, verse 27, He says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." If you are a sheep of God, you're going to hear the Word of God. Period. The proof that you're a sheep is that you hear the Word. There's no other proof. You say, "Well, I want to. When I drop this, or when I lay this down, or when I clean this up," and that's not proof. That's just something you could do. Amen. But when you hear the Word of God and you know the Word of God is true, because like I said, just look at generation after generation, you can see we're falling away from the Word. But when you can see that the Word of God is true and you hear the Word of God, God will take care of you, because that's where His voice is. Amen. His voice is in His Word. If you want to hear from God, you have to hear God's Word. Amen. If you want to hear from Don Deskins, you got to go talk to Don Deskins. If you want to hear from God, you got to hear His Word. That's the only way that works. There's no other way. You say, "Well, I'm going to figure it out." You're never going to figure it out. He said, "My ways are past finding out." You'll never get smart enough to learn where God is. You'll never get smart enough to where you'll figure it out. You got to find the Word of God. You say, "Well, how do I know it's the Word of God?" Because you got faith in it. God said. How do you know? Because God said. Well, how do you know that? I believe God said it. You say, "Well, I don't believe God said it." Then God can't help you.
Amen.
So somewhere on the line, you got to get off that merry-go-round. Somewhere on the line, you got to get the final say back to God, because you are not going to pass. You're not going to find Him out. You're not going to get smart enough to figure Him out. He's made this plan in such a way that you couldn't even figure Him out anyway. God foreknew. Amen. And by His foreknowledge, He can do things and plan things and adjust things to fit His need. And there's nothing that you can do to change that. Amen. You don't know what's coming in the next minute, but God does. You don't know what tomorrow holds, but God does. But when God gets tired, He changes things. God can't get tired.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, "You listen only to one voice." Brother Branham said, "My sheep know My voice, and a stranger they will not." What is His voice? Any man's voice is his Word.
Right.
And this is it, the Bible. Not one word to be added to it or taken away from it. Just stay right with that voice. A stranger they won't follow. A denomination, Brother Branham said, they won't follow. You know, you can be a denomination in yourself.
Yeah.
When you take your thinking over top of the Word of God, you're on your own denomination. A denomination of one. And so you got to lay your thinking down. You got to, I'm talking about the final voice. And that final voice is somewhere. The voice is God's voice. So if you want to title it The Final Voice, because there is a final voice. So when you hear the Word, whether it's the Word from a man or the Word from God, You're listening to his voice. And his voice is giving you the word. And the word is what you follow. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's very simple. Now, John the Baptist, when he came on the scene, he had to follow that voice. He had to hear that voice. And in John chapter 3, he said, verse 28, he said, "Ye yourself bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him." See, John knew he wasn't the Messiah. People thought he was. But he knew he wasn't the Messiah. And listen to what John said. He that had the bride is the bridegroom. But a friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. John wasn't even part of the bride. But he loved to hear the voice of the bridegroom. Because he knew the bridegroom was going to say some vows to the bride. He knew he was going to marry her. He knew they were going to become one. Amen. And so John was excited, even not being the bride. You know, you get happy when you go to weddings.
Yeah. Amen.
If you're not even the bride or the groom, you're excited for them. That's the way John was. Now you got a little bit of idea of how John felt about the matter. John was standing there watching the groom marry the bride, and he was just as happy to hear the voice of the groom as she was. Because he was like, he's going to promise her some things. He's going to tell her some things. He said the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase and I must decrease. Whenever the voice of the bridegroom is brought forth and you hear that voice, you got to decrease. Your thinking decreases. Your idea thinks. Everything you think. When I first come to this message and I heard this word, I had my ideas. I had my thinking. I had my own voice. I had my own thoughts, but when I heard the voice of God, I had to lay my thinking down.
Right.
You have to lay your thinking down. You can't keep your thinking and get a hold of God.
Amen.
Doesn't work that way. So when you hear the word of God, you got a decision to make because it is your choice.
Amen.
When a man marries a woman, it's her choice to accept it. See, this generation is so screwed up and messed up in his thinking. Now the woman, she proposes to the man, and if they propose at all, if they don't just move in together. But nowadays, you see them, he'll walk up to a lady and you think, oh, he's going to propose. Oh, he's going to propose. He goes up to her and says, would you move in with me? That's not the way God's word works. But you're not going to be taught that anymore. This generation is so sick and so far gone, they have no respect for the marriage at all. They don't worry about who's marrying who. They don't even marry. But that's okay, you know. It's really okay. I'm not concerned about that because marriage is a Christian. It's a Christian act. It's a promise between you, your spouse, and God. If they don't believe in God, they may as well move in together. It's no wonder they're shacking up these days because they don't even believe in God.
Amen.
And it was headed this way for a while. First they had the vows that the preacher would bring, and then it got to the place they didn't want the preacher. They didn't want to say, I'll love, cherish, and obey you. So they start making their own vows. And then they start making their own vows because they didn't want to be in under somebody else. So then after a while, they decided we don't even need vows. We're married in the eyes of God. They don't even believe in God. Now they're talking about I'm atheist and I just move in because I don't need God's blessing on us. No, you don't. But you know, don't get upset with that because they're not believers anyway. It's a Christian act between a Christian brother and a Christian sister in the eyes of God and in the presence of the company of God's people.
Amen.
That's what it is. So no wonder the world's moved away from it. They have gotten so far away from God, it wearies God about them. And he's going to do something about it too. There's going to come a time that that final voice, and it's called final because it's the last.
Right. Wow.
Over here in Matthew chapter 25, you got the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise.
Yeah.
And five were foolish. They that were foolish, I like the way that's even worded. Uh-huh. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them.
No. All right. Amen.
They weren't born again.
No.
They loved God in their own way, but they never laid down their tradition. They never laid down their ideas. They lived their life according to what they felt God wanted. But they weren't born again. They took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The wise had oil in their vessels. Now you say, well, the lamp is the word. That's the light. The oil doesn't need to be in the word. It needs to be in you. It needs to be in your vessels. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The wise had the birth. The wise had the vessel. The wise had the oil.
Amen.
But while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Every age had oil. Every age had a group that were born again, given bread from God, had enough bread for the hour that they were living in. But their only problem is that they didn't live long enough. If they could have kept living, they'd be right here with us. But they all slumbered. The ones with oil and the ones without oil. The foolish virgin, they didn't have oil in their lamps.
Right.
And they died with their tradition, but they did the best they could with what they had.
Uh-huh.
And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made.
Uh-huh. Wow.
When was midnight? Midnight's already happened.
Right.
Amen.
You say, how do you know it's happened? Because I already heard the cry.
Uh-huh.
See, Satan wants to move it down the line. You go to your local denominational church, and they're going to tell you, one day at midnight, there's going to be a cry. Go out. Well, we're past midnight. The cry's already gone out. Remember, I was making that mistake. Thinking we were 3 minutes to midnight, and God corrected me on that and told me we're not 3 minutes to midnight. We're well past midnight. And Jeremiah said from right there, we're in a new day. After midnight, you start a new day. After midnight, you start a new week. When the seventh day is past, you move into the eighth day. We're no longer in this 7 day week. We move past midnight. People don't even realize we're past midnight. We're past the seventh day. We're past the restoration. We're past all those things. And here we are sitting right in the middle.
Amen.
Of a new day.
Yeah.
And people don't even know it. At midnight, there was a cry made. What in the world is the cry?
Come on.
I mean, I could spend hours on all of these. A cry is a message.
Right.
It's telling you something. There's a voice that's talking to you. At midnight, a cry was made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And what did Brother Branham tell us in 1963? He's here. He's here. You say, well, I don't see nothing. You don't know what you're looking at. God and the Word is one and the same. When the Word came, He came. In 1963, the seals were opened. Church world don't even know that. When the seals were opened, that brought the Word down to the earth. The fullness of the Word came down to the earth. Remember, the Word is the voice, and the voice is the Word. So the voice came from heaven down to earth. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us your oil. Give us some of that Word. Give us some of that anointing. Give us what you got. For our lamps are gone out. Now, they had lamps. The lamps looked good. They trimmed them. They look better than your lamp. But no oil. What good is a lamp with no oil? But the wise answer, saying, not so. Lest there be enough, not enough for us and you. But you go to them that sell. Go to the same place we got it. Go to God in prayer. And buy for yourselves. But listen to what happened while all the church worlds are running after this. They want what you've got. They're trying to get it. They're trying to do their best because they're foolish virgins. They're virgins, mean they're set aside for service. They're clean. They're godly. They do a lot of good things. They're trying to serve God. They actually look better than you do.
Come on, Lord.
But while they went to buy, while they're running through their cycles, their Christmas specials, their Easter meetings, their tent revivals, healing the sick, speaking in tongues, building hospitals, voting in popes, while they're doing all these things, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready, only the five were ready. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, let's look at this for a minute. Because the marriage, people think when this happened, they went into the marriage, they went somewhere. Brother Branham said marriage here. Do you realize the marriage is going on here right now? Do you realize the door is shut here right now?
Right now. Yeah.
Oh, my. We're always putting, see, Satan don't mind us pushing it down the road. He don't mind you saying, someday we're going to marry him. He don't mind you saying, someday the door is going to be closed. But the door was closed when the bridegroom came. The bridegroom came in 1963 at the opening of the seals. All these things were working in conjunction with each other, and the church world is pushing it down the road thinking someday, everything's already locked in right now.
Come on.
Every name was revealed under the sixth seal.
Amen.
Everything that was holy is holy still. Everything that was righteous is righteous still. So now you got to find out where you go in there at. Because there's still a way to get in, but not the way the man thinks it is. You're going to get in because you already are counted for as a part of it. You're going to hear the voice and you're going to follow the voice. Because that voice and you have to become one and the same.
Yeah.
The marriage is happening here.
Yes.
The vow exchanging is going on now. And everybody's still looking down the road somewhere. The marriage is happening right before their very eyes. And now nobody else can get in. Do you know when the bride starts down the aisle, they close the doors. I don't care who you are. I don't care what gifts you're bringing. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. When the bride steps forth, they close those doors and don't let anybody else in.
Amen.
Look at the nominal churches coming in. When the sleeping virgins come for oil, she fails to get it. The bride went in, the rapture went up while they went to buy the oil. The bridegroom come while they're out here doing all this stuff. That's why it's not enough to just go to a church. You need to find out where the voice is. Because remember, the voice and the person is the same.
Yeah.
If you're looking for God, you have to find His voice.
Amen.
And His voice is going to match His word because His word and His voice are one and the same.
Right.
When you're out there and you have a water baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and you don't find that in the Word of God, that's not the voice of God.
Amen.
When you're out there and they're telling you it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that, when the Word of God says it's not okay, that's not the voice of God.
Right.
Compromising the Word of God and letting your church grow is not the Word of God. I don't care how big your church gets, if it's not according to the Word of God, you miss the voice of God.
Amen.
You must find where the word is preached. That's what people are missing today. Oh, I so wish I could get on the radio. Oh, I wish I could talk to some people about this thing. Because they're not hearing it out there. They're hearing a false water baptism. They're hearing a Trinitarian Godhead. They're hearing it's okay to go to the church of your choice. They don't even worry about anything as long as they got a doctor of divinity. Somebody's been through college. They think they've got somebody on their hand that's serving God. But that's no proof that God's there. You got to find the voice. You got to follow the voice. You can't even find God till you find His voice.
Amen.
Wow, wow, wow. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 22. Verse 8. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready. But they which were bidden were not worthy. The only thing that makes you worthy is receiving the word of God.
That's it.
Building hospitals does not make you worthy. Praying for the sick does not make you worthy. Signs and wonders does not make you worthy. Matthew 25, they're going to come before him. They're going to say, Lord, didn't we heal the sick in your name? Not in Satan's name. Not in. They were actually doing it in the name of the Lord. Didn't we heal the sick in your name? Didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. If you don't do it under the voice of God, you're doing it in iniquity.
Right.
Knowing to do good and don't do it.
Wow.
It's not that they haven't been told. This whole world was told in 1963 to turn back to God. In 56, they were told to turn to God. And they didn't do it. So when he come down in 1963 himself and started talking,
oh yeah,
They already knew they should have. They should have believed it. They should have followed it, but they didn't want to. Matthew 25, they're going to do all the other things, but they're not going to follow the word. And he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you.
Amen.
Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Whosoever will, let him come.
Yeah.
You can come. We don't lock these doors. We don't tell people they can't come. I let anybody come in here that want to come in here. That sometimes people ask me, they say, well, why do you go to this brother's church and he don't even believe what you preach? I don't go to his church because he believes what I preach. I go to his church to preach the truth.
Amen.
How are you going to help somebody if you don't get them to the truth? And that's what you got to do, is open your doors and let people come in and let them hear the truth. Then it's up to them whether they want to believe it or not. When they hear the voice, if they recognize that voice, they'll follow that voice. But if they don't recognize the voice, they'll walk out of here like that guy did last Sunday. Turn around, got to the door, kissed the door, and walked out. He was right where Jesus is. And kissed the door. And he's not here today. Now, last week, I was told he left because he come to church late. He thought it started at 11. That was last week's excuse. What is your excuse, old man? Thou art without an excuse.
Yeah.
So when Matthew 25, and he stands there and says, Lord, when didn't I do this? He's going to say, you came right to my door. I was speaking. Didn't you hear my voice? Why can't you hear my voice? That's what Jesus asked him in St. John 8. Why can't you hear my voice? Even because you don't have a place in you to receive it. See, the people who hear the voice of God have a place in them to receive the word of God.
Right? Amen.
And if you don't have a place in you to receive the word, all the talking I can do won't help you a bit. That's why I'm not trying to save everybody. I only want the elect of God in here. I want people who want to hear the voice of God in here. I want people who can receive the truth in here. You say, well, you won't have a full church. I don't need a full church. All that Jesus ended up with, it all is praying, all is breaking bread, all is miracles. All he ended up with was 120.
That's all.
So I think I'm doing pretty good.
Amen.
Tell them to go to the highways. Find them. So those servants went out on the highways and gathered together all as many as they found. Both bad and good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He made a way for me.
Amen.
Wasn't about my goodness.
No.
Wasn't about how righteous I am.
Come on.
When I come here, I didn't ask how much money I was going to give in the offering. I wouldn't ask how many people I've healed, how many tongues I've spoken. I wouldn't ask all these things. He didn't worry about none of that. He said, you just go out there and just bring them in. See, that's what you all should be doing, just bringing them in. Don't try to bring only the good people here, because you'll mess it up. You'll keep somebody out of the house of God that should be in here, and you'll bring somebody in the house of God that shouldn't be here. So you just open the door and let them all come. Let the word fix this thing. When the voice of God goes forth, the sheep will hear his voice. And the others will follow out of here, because they will think, well, I don't understand what they're saying here. I don't get this. This sounds weird. This is different. I've never been taught this when I was growing up. No, you weren't taught this when you were growing up. You never heard the voice of God until now. They got them both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with gifts.
Amen.
People come here and they think, you've got your congregation. I had somebody tell me, your congregation, they don't believe what you preach. I said, they don't? No. I see them here with this. They got this problem, and they got this problem. And they got. It's funny. Y'all are here today, and they're not. And I'm like, well, you know, maybe my people are bad. Some of my people are good, and some of my people are bad. But you know what? I'm doing what Jesus did.
Amen.
I'm doing what the Bible said. Bring them in.
Yeah.
Some people won't let women in the church because they have on pants. If they cut their hair, they won't let them have any. If they do, they got all these rules and reels and lines and you know what? When you go to their church, all their sisters look perfect. All their brothers look perfect. The preachers walk around like the Bible under their arm like Brother Branham. Sideburns are short. They just, you know, they got it all together. But the problem is the voice there? If the voice is not there, dress up all you want. Dress up a pig if you want. A pig is a pig is a pig. You put him in a tuxedo and you clean him up and put perfume on him. The moment you open that door, he's going right back to the mud where he come from. Because his nature is the nature of a pig. But you let somebody hear the word of God who's got the nature of a dove. When they hear that word, see, the Holy Ghost will only land on the person with the nature of a dove.
Amen.
Amen.
So be as good as you want. And I recommend that you be good. I don't preach living bad, as contrary to popular belief. People think I teach my people to live bad. They think I teach my people that they don't have to live, they don't have to do nothing no more. It's over, it's done, the bride is here, la la la, you know how they do. I tell you, go ahead and bring as many people in as you can. Invite them. Come see a man. Come see a voice. Come hear God. God's in this place. You know God's in this place. So tell your friends. Don't be ashamed. I ain't going to tell them I'm going to church. And you know, Jesus, the word says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. So invite them. Tell them, come see something. Come here. You know what? Most people won't. They say they want God until God speaks to them, until they hear the voice of God. And then when they hear the voice of God, they're like, I don't believe that. And they don't. They're not believers. But bring them. Bring them in. And when the king came and saw the gifts and saw the man which had not a wedding garment. You know what I love about this? Is when you come to God or you come to this wedding, he's not worried about what you have on.
Amen.
He looked, and because what they do is in the old days, when you come to the wedding, they dressed everybody alike in the same garment. So because they got them off the street, some of them are bums. But you take a bum and you put a wedding garment on it. And you take a king who has lots of stuff and you put that same wedding garment on him. And you look at the bum, you look at the king, there's no difference.
Amen.
That's the way it is with God. When you come here, God ain't looking at you and what you're bringing, what you offered. Oh, I have a house. I live in Kettering. I live in this. And I live in that. He ain't worried about that. He'll throw his robe on you, and it won't matter where you live.
Amen.
Well, I got problems in this area, and I got problems in that area. Let him put his robe on you. His righteousness. Let him clothe you. And he'll look at you like he looks at Jesus.
Amen.
I got a habit here. And you know, I've smoked for 40 years. And I just don't feel worthy to come. Let him put his robe on you. He ain't worried about how you. You know what? That robe will fix it all.
Amen.
Whatever ails you, whatever problems, I don't feel like I can't give back to the church because I don't have no money. Let him put his robe on you.
Amen.
Come on, poor people, rich people. Doesn't matter.
Amen.
We're all the same. There's not a big I and little you when you come to his wedding.
Amen.
That's why we don't have those big chairs around here. Because there ain't no big I and little you here. We're all needing God the same.
Amen.
There's nobody in here that's any better than the other. Nobody's any closer than the other. Right. Nobody's either got more Holy Ghost than the other. It's either you got him or don't. You either hear the voice or you don't. If God's talking to you and you recognize his voice, you've got it made.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, 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 Lord.
Now, I wasn't supposed to read that, but I read it anyway. Colossians 1, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Now, see, God wanted to come down here and speak to us and deal with us and talk with us. But people don't recognize his voice. They don't give any more credence to God's voice than nothing. God can tell them something and they don't pay a bit more attention to that. I've seen it. God will tell me to tell somebody something, they don't a bit more listen. Then they run out there and they get their head in a mess. And then they come back to me and expect me to give them some new advice. And I just tell them what God told them the first time. He ain't going to give you anything new if you haven't done what he told you the first time.
Amen.
He never changed his mind when he told Moses, take the children of Israel, take them to the promised land. He never did change that. He changed prophets. He changed the people. He had to feed them, he had to water them, he had to give them clothes that wouldn't get old. He had to do a lot of things, but he never changed his mind about what he told them he's going to do. And that's the way God is. He wants to be able to lead us. Now, he is the head of the body, and he is the voice of God. And if you can't find that voice, then you can't find him. And if you can find that voice, you become part of that voice. Because the bride body, really, he's the head and we're the body. That's really how this works. In type, we're the body. The body follows the head. When the head's the only one that speaks is the head. That's it. You have lips anywhere else. No arms, no hands. From the lips to the head up. That's it. The head speaks for the body. And you must listen to that. You know, it's not optional. You say, well, I choose not to listen to it. Well, you know what? You're not part of the body. It's not hard. People make it hard. As the head was took from the grave, Brother Branham said, so must the body follow him back to Eden, where the head of the family, the man, the bridegroom, the bride brings the body of the bridegroom, the bride brings the body of the bridegroom, must follow, because that's the head. And the head is revealed and comes back to that eternal life, and the body must follow that because it is husband and wife again. And as long as you are impregnated with the same word, which is his body,
amen.
You took his body, become in him, and when you took that word, not the creed, the word, you are impregnated by the word of God.
Amen.
And like Brother Branham says, when you get pregnant, the womb gets locked up and you can't take another seed. I cannot disbelieve. I cannot take some man's idea now. It's too far gone. I've been impregnated by the word of God. And now as much as I'm sealed in, Satan's sealed out. We don't have to worry about him anymore. We don't have to fear what Satan's going to throw our way. Let come what may, I'm sealed in with Jesus Christ. And nothing can move me from that. Don't take me over to Romans 8. What shall separate me from the love of God? Nothing. I'm pregnant now. I'm bearing his child. I'm bearing his seed. I'm bearing his word. When you see me manifesting, you see the word of God being manifested out through me with every heartbeat. I don't have to force it. I don't have to try to make it happen. I've received the voice of God. I and my Father have become one. I have become the voice of God.
Amen.
You're talking about him? That voice moves somewhere. It's not enough for it to just be in him. It's not enough just to be the voice of the groom. But the groom and the bride should have the same voice, should have the same goals. Do you know a husband and wife should have the same goals, same leading, same direction? He shouldn't go this way and she goes another way. That's not a husband and wife. There should only be one mind.
Amen.
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 One head, one mind. One mind, one direction. One direction, one goal. That's the way it works. See why the home, the marriage, and everything else is being destroyed by Satan? Because he doesn't want no one to understand how God works.
Amen.
He wants everybody just shacking up. He wants you carrying the Bible but not having a clue about what it means. He wants you to not understand who you are. He don't want you to take his name. See, nowadays, a woman won't even take her husband's name. I wouldn't have a woman who wouldn't take my name.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about hyphenated. I'm talking about she going to take my name or she won't have me.
Amen.
It's all part of this messed up world where everybody's got their own identities.
Amen.
And don't get me started on identities. Because now men are so messed up, they don't understand who they are. Men don't know their men. Women don't know their men. Women, the kids don't know whether they're a cat or not. We have lost as a society our very identity of a human being.
Amen.
All under the guise of age of equal rights. Because everybody has a right to be whatever they want. It makes me laugh when I walk to a restaurant now or go to a place and go to the restroom and there's a man and a woman on the door. They're so confused they have to make the restroom one for both of them because they don't know who's going to be in there. That's the hour we're living in.
What an hour.
As time goes on, there won't be a men in a women's restroom. There'll just be a family restroom. And that's what they're going to have to do it. Because man is so stupid and he's done even realize who he is now and has gone so far, there's no turning back now. So the only hope there is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You better bring your kids to church. You better let us tell them who they are. You better let us tell them there's only two sects in the world.
Amen.
I don't care what science does. I don't care how many hormones they give you.
Come on, preach.
I don't care how much they change you. They won't change your very nature.
Right.
We're just stuck here now in this generation and everybody. And I don't blame the people. I don't blame the kids. I blame the world. The hour that we're living in, everybody's confused.
Right.
You've got to be born again. And it doesn't make them bad. These are good people. Just caught in a bad world. But the Bible said it was going to be this way. It doesn't make them bad. It makes me feel for them. I had somebody ask me one time, well, what are you going to do if a man comes to your church and he's in a woman's dress? And I said, I'm going to sit him right down. And I'm going to preach to him. I'm about the Word of God. I'm not about what you think you are, or who you think you are, or what you think you're doing and not doing. And I put the robe on you. I put the robe on you. And I don't know whether you got on pants or dress. See, we get caught up in all this stuff. But don't get caught up in the world order. You're better than that. You have revelation. You have an understanding. And you understand every man and woman that you meet. You don't have to be all caught up and tore up on it. You don't have to be I don't know what. I have an answer for everybody. I have an answer for every situation. I have an answer for every problem. I have a good solution for everything. What church can you go to that has that? The voice is here. That's why the answers are here.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, what is that? Shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice. Ah. There's that voice. Right. Follow the voice, you'll follow God.
Right.
The voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And listen what the next step is after these three things happen. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's already happened. That's already happened. That's the scripture. That's the order. Shout, voice, trump, dead. But then there's another step after the dead getting up. Because we're always sitting here thinking, well, the dead's going to get up. The dead's already up.
They're out.
We just can't see them, but they're here because the Word of God says they're here. You say, well, I don't believe it. Then you don't believe the Word of God. You say, well, I don't see it. You don't have to see it to believe it. You have to believe it to see it.
Amen.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain. That's us. The ones that are still here. The ones that are on the earth, the ones who are the final voice, because the shout and the voice and the trump gets in us.
Yes.
We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort yourself. Comfort one another with that. Don't get discouraged. Don't worry about how bad the world's getting. The world's got to get bad. The Bible said it was going to happen. Don't us be surprised. Don't us be caught off guard. We already knew in advance. We're not going to be shocked when we see Rome get bombed. But it's not going to happen for it while we're here. But we won't be shocked. They will. We won't be shocked that Russia came through out of all of USSR. Out of all of those countries they had together, Brother Branham said, watch Russia. And Russia was not even part of the title there. It was USSR. And everything crumbled but Russia. And the bride the whole time was not watching USSR. We were watching Russia. Because that's what the prophet told us to do. And Russia's still sitting there, and she will stay there because she's got work to do. And the bride knows this.
Amen.
Now, listen to what Brother Branham said here in the Uniting Times. God is uniting his bride. She is coming together from the east and the west and the north and the south. There's a uniting time that's on right now. What is she uniting for? The rapture.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Branham said.
Amen.
Y'all won't say it. He said it himself.
Amen.
God's getting her ready. Yes, sir. Uniting. What is she uniting with?
Uh-huh.
With the Word.
Yes.
Remember, the Word is the voice.
Uh-huh. Yes.
She's uniting with the Word. For all heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word shall never pass away. She's uniting herself with thus saith the Lord, regardless of what any denomination or anybody else says. She's uniting herself. She's getting ready. Why? She is the bride.
Right.
That's right. She's uniting herself with her bridegroom. So when we're uniting with the Word, we're uniting ourselves with our bridegroom.
Yes.
We're trying to look for the bridegroom, but let me tell you, you're not going to physically see him until we meet him in the air.
Right.
You have to unite him with him here now by the Word. Well, she's the bride, that's right, and she's uniting herself with the bridegroom, see? And the bridegroom is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And the church and the bride and the Word is becoming one. It's so one until the very Word itself is working out the works of the bridegroom. Amen. You see it, Brother Branham asked? A uniting. No more joining the church. No more this. But flee from everything and tie to Jesus Christ, see? It's the uniting time. God uniting his bride together, bringing it back just exactly. Uniting the word of his, uniting the words of his promise. God promised what he was going to do in this hour. And nobody but the bride understands that.
Amen.
We're watching God right under the nose of the church world fulfill everything he said. And they're missing it. Could you imagine how Moses' mother felt when she sent that baby down the Nile and he ends up in Pharaoh's house? And then Pharaoh's daughter comes and gets her out of all the women in Egypt.
Yeah, think about
she wasn't the only one that had a baby. But out of all the women that got her, could you imagine how she felt sitting right under the nose of Pharaoh feeding the one who's going to deliver them and couldn't tell Pharaoh. Here we are. Sitting right under the nose of the church world.
Right.
We're booked in on each side. Got apostolic on this side. Got Nazarene on that side. Got a Baptist in between us. And everything else that's in Fairborn and around about this place. Right under their nose. Here we are. Feasting.
Right.
Eating from the king's table.
Yeah.
Listening to the voice of God.
Yeah.
Receiving our instructions from God himself.
Yes.
Right under, and the church world are fasting and praying and trying to get what you're hearing every service.
Right. Mm-hmm. My.
How blessed these pilgrims are.
Amen.
Now that voice that descended from heaven with a shout has moved into the bride. And I love this because the Bible is so perfect in even the way it's set up. All through the Bible, they're talking about groom, 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 groom. But in the opening of the seals in the book of Revelation, he didn't say too much about the groom. He said more about the bride than he did the groom. She becomes the voice. She becomes the call. Do you realize the rapture is going to happen through the bride?
Yes. Yes.
Brother Branham said he's not coming back to earth until it's cleaned off. So if there's going to be a rapture, it's going to happen through the bride.
That's right.
So that voice that Jesus stood at Lazarus' tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth, has got to be in the bride. Because
right.
We've got to get the dead up.
Yeah.
That voice that we've heard all the way down through the Old Testament, all the way down through the New Testament, stood in the gap for us for seven ages, moved himself down here, as Thessalonians 4 said, and put himself in his bride. And now she is here. She knows what to do with the word.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 22. I love this. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. There's the voice. There's that final voice. It's no longer in the groom. And it doesn't take away from the groom. But it means the groom is giving it to the bride. If I tell Clarice to tell y'all we're not having services tonight, and Clarice gets up here and says, service is canceled tonight. Brother Moore said we're not having service. Now, it's my word coming through her lips. Doesn't make it any less my word? Doesn't make it any less powerful than me saying it myself? Doesn't change the fact that we're not having it? See how that works? God is going to bring a rapture, but he's not going to do it through the groom. He's going to do it through the bride. The spirit and the bride say, come. We don't even know who he's talking to. Come from where? Is it the denomination we're coming from? Is it the grave we're coming from? She's got to do both. She says, come out of her, my people. But that's not all she's saying. She's calling for the dead to come. That's the final voice. That's the job of the final voice. And the spirit and the bride say, come, and let him athirst come. And let him that is athirst, let him that thirst come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Come on. If you're thirsty, come on. Oh, I'm sure they're thirsty over there too. They don't eat and they don't drink. So come. We limit our own call.
That's right.
We limit our own call because we think the only thing we're saying is coming to the church world to come to us. That ain't what it says. It says whosoever will. Whoever thirst. Brother Branham, over here, we don't eat or drink. We don't do that till we get back to our body. Well, come on. That's the call of the bride. Remember the final voice. She's going to do it all.
Amen.
The final voice is going to come through her. Brother Branham said, have you noticed in Revelation 22:17, the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. See, the bride speaks the same word as does the spirit. She is the word bride, proving she has the spirit. In every church age, we hear those words, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Spirit gives the word. If you have the Spirit, you will hear the word for your age. As those true Christians took the word for their age. But we limit ourselves and what our job is. We tie our own hands by our own circumstances. And we make the Bible say things that it may not even really be saying. Talking to people that it may not be talking to. I told you I thought we were 2/3 done with 1 Thessalonians 4 till God straightened me out on it. But when he straightened me out on that, he straightened me out on many things. So don't limit God. The final voice is to get the dead up.
Amen.
The final voice is in the bride.
Yes. Right. Yes.
But we limit that. So we think one of these days God's going to say, God ain't going to say nothing.
Yes.
You're going to say.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
A lot of times, as Don says, we're waiting on God. God's waiting on you.
Right.
Got a quote here for you, Don. Why, this church ought to be 1,000,000 miles up the road to where it is now. Jesus is waiting on his church to get ready. His bride has made herself ready. We got the potentials. The Holy Spirit is here. God is here. The power to heal the sick, the power to do all the things that Christ did. I've seen it demonstrated myself by the Holy Spirit. So the potentials are here. What God is waiting for us to get away from is our traditions.
Right.
And come back under the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, and become the church of the living God. Methodist, Baptist, Lutherans, Pentecostal, whatever more. Whosoever will come and take of the water of life freely, I believe that with all that's in me. God has sent down His Holy Spirit to do that. The Spirit is here to move us into our job. To be the final voice. God's dead are not going to get up without that final voice. He's waiting on us. Brother Branham said He was waiting on us, but then listen what he said here a couple of services later. He said, the church is ready. She's sealed in. Ready to come. There will be a great outpouring of the Spirit. Yes, sirs. To grab that church and take her into the skies. Exactly. Because, see, the church, the Word, the bride, and Christ, His ministry is in His bride, which is His body, the celestial body, the supernatural body of His here on the spiritual, body on the earth. His Spirit is in there living His life right out until Him and the church becomes one in the wedding. See, they become one. He takes them just a little minority in the last days. Not a lot. We're waiting on big numbers. People in this message are waiting on some revival, some big push, and some big meetings. And I don't know. We could have big meetings. But you know what? In those big meetings, everybody's not going to get it. Brother Benham held big meetings and asked Billy Paul. He said, Billy Paul, how many people do you think actually understood what I preached? And Billy Paul said, oh, everybody's getting you, Daddy. Everybody's getting in. Brother Branham said, I can count it on one hand. Right. Was really getting it. I could count it on one hand. And he had meetings with thousands and thousands and ten thousands and lots of people. He could count them on one hand, meaning people aren't getting this. So I don't care how big your meeting is, only a handful will get it. But they will be the final voice. And God doesn't need a majority for His voice. In Revelation 21:9, again, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked to me, saying, come here, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He married her. Amen. He was showing John, there she is. She's married to him. When you're the wife, that means the wedding ceremony has already happened. That means the vows have already been exchanged. That means the veil has already been taken off of her and put on his shoulder.
Amen.
And he says, this is all me now. And listen to what Brother Branham said now. Now remember, now I'm jumping down. I just looked. It's 12:18. Okay, let me jump down. In the day the Son of Man will be revealed, what? To join the church to the head, unite the marriage of the bride. The bridegroom call will come right through this. The bridegroom call, right. Let me tell you what it's going to come through. He joined the church to the head, unite the marriage of the bride. The bridegroom call will come right through this. What? The marriage. The bridegroom's call. What is his call? To get the dead up.
Amen.
His call is going to come through the bride.
Amen.
The bridegroom call will come right through this. When the Son of Man will come down and come human flesh to unite the two together. The church has to be the Word. He is the Word. And the two unites together. And to do what? It'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man, not clergymen. I don't know. Do you see what it means? He said, it's the Son of Man. Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh amongst us. We all think that's just Brother Branham. That's in you.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Jesus Christ has come down in your human flesh.
Amen.
In human flesh amongst us. And will make His word so real that it'll unite the church and him as one, the bride, and then she'll go home to the wedding supper. Amen. Amen. She's already united, see? We go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. Amen. We're all thinking we're going to marry someday. You're marrying now by reuniting with the Word.
Amen.
It says, she's already united, see? We go to a wedding supper, not to a to the marriage. Fill your flesh, self, of all the flesh of the mighty men, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. But the rapture is going to the wedding supper. He's separating the marriage from the rapture. You hearing that? He said the call's kind of come through the bride, and he just separated the marriage from the rapture. He said, you get married here, the rapture takes you to the supper. The rapture is going to the wedding supper when the word here unites with the person and they two become one. And then what does it do then? It manifests the Son of Man again, not the church theologians, the Son of Man. The word and the church becomes one. Whatever the Son of Man's done, he was the word. The church does the same thing. We're united here. When the word, the voice of God is coming forth, he said, it's the voice of God coming out of the mouth of God.
Right.
It's God's voice that you're hearing here this morning. And you unite with that voice, and you become one so much that you marry him.
Right.
And then the voice of the bride is the one that's going to get the dead up.
Right.
Not him, you.
Right.
You are that final voice to the final age.
Yes.
That's why in the book of Revelation, it's talking about the bride so much. He ain't worried about the groom. Groom's not coming back to do this. You're going to do this.
Amen.
Just to close things out. God's voice, and I won't read it, but Revelation's verses 1 through 3 is where the seven thunders uttered and cried with a loud voice. That voice was the same one that dropped down to verse 10 and 11, moved into the bride. We took the book. We said, give me that book. That's what you said. When you come to this church, you said, give it to me. You were living what was written of you, and you probably didn't even know it was in there. That shows you how you're not manifesting these things because it's you deciding, okay, I got to do this. You're living this thing with every heartbeat. Getting the dead up is not going to be hard work. It's not going to be you falling on your face and saying, oh, God, I got to do this. This is my job. I'm the bride. I got to get the dead up. It's just another revelation that God's going to reveal to you as his bride. He's going to talk to you and reveal himself, make himself known to you. And that bride's going to say, come. Come. She is the final voice to that final age. Now I'm going to read this scripture, this quote, because I read it all the time, and I'm going to close. A momentary consideration of the church history will prove how accurate this is.
Right.
In the Dark Ages, the word was almost entirely lost to the people back there. But God sent Luther with the word. Then Luther spoke for God at the time. But they organized. And again, the pure word was lost for organization tends to towards dogmas and creeds and not the simple word. They could no longer speak for God. Oh, they were actually speaking for God. Then God sent Wesley, and he was a voice with the word in his day. The people who took his revelation from God became the living epistles read and known of all men for their generation. When the Methodists failed, God raised up another. And so it has gone on through the years until this last day. Until this last day, there is again another people in the land, not just prophet,
Amen.
There's another people in the land who, under their messenger, will be the final voice to the final age. That's us. Yes, sir, the church is no longer the mouthpiece of God. It's his own mouthpiece. So God is turning on her. He will confound her through the prophet and the bride.
Wow.
Not just through Brother Branham. You're looking at Brother Branham, Brother Branham, Brother Branham. What about you? You should be confounding them. You should make the devil so mad because you're saying who you are and what your job is and who you're going to get up. And you should make him so mad it makes him nervous. He's the one that should be losing sleep at night. He will confound her through the prophet and the bride. For the voice of God will be in her.
Amen.
Yes, it is. For it says in the last chapter of Revelation, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Why didn't Jesus say it? Where's the groom? Why ain't he saying it? He did. He told us by his voice in his word for us to do it. Cancel service. Cancel the world order. They talk about this, and I don't even understand the cancel culture stuff. But this bride's going to cancel it all. She's going to cancel everything. She's the last final voice to the final age. Nobody else can say anything else. What are they going to say when she says, come, and the dead get up? What are they going to say when we're changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye? What are they going to say when we leave from here and rise into heaven to go to a marriage supper of the Lamb? And we'll be there having supper while the world's going into destruction.
Amen.
Spirit and the bride say, come. Once more, the world will hear directly from God as at Pentecost. But of course, the word bride will be repudiated as in the first days. They're not going to believe who we are.
That's right.
They don't care who we are. Yeah. We can tell them with a final voice. They don't believe it, but we are.
Uh-huh.
We can tell them the Spirit and the bride say, come. They won't come.
Nope.
We can show them the bride, the Lamb's wife, and they don't believe who she is.
No.
I can say, church, the Lamb's wife is right here. And on the internet, the critics are saying, that ain't nobody. Who do they think they are? Come see. The Spirit and the bride say, come. We limit ourselves to just saying, come to church. But I'm saying no limitations. I'm calling to the dead to come. I'm calling to the living to come. Whosoever will, let him come. I've got the authority to call the dead up. Give it to us by the bridegroom. I know over in the Philippines they get mixed up between a bride and a groom, and they think the groom's back on the scene and it's not the bride, and they give all this power and everything to the groom, and the groom don't even want it. If I can cancel service by sending you Clarice and I sit at home in my lazy boy chair, then I save myself some time. Clarice, go tell them. Show up if you want. The doors will be locked.
Amen.
Show up if you want. The bride won't be there.
Amen.
You say, I'm coming anyway. Do you know when we get out of here, they're still going to go to church?
Yeah.
They're going to scramble through here if they have time. Because this world's going to be rocking.
Yeah.
But if they have time, they're going to say, didn't they keep some old tapes back there? But see, the thing is, they're going to go after yesterday's manna. They're going to go after oil that's not there. Well, we have the record, but they can't get what we're getting right today. How did they get out of here? I don't know. There's something, I remember something about the voice. We're the final voice to the final age. They don't believe it, but they don't have to believe it. I have to believe. I have to call to the sleeping. I am the final voice. They will hear no voice outside of ours. The dead are not listening for any voice but yours. Lazarus was listening for Jesus' voice. The dead bride is listening for our voice. Because we're the ones that's going to do like this. They've been asleep for 4 days. Surely they stinketh. Is anything too hard for God? Do you realize that I am the resurrection?
Yes.
And the life.
Yes.
That is now in the bride. Our only job now is to convince you that you've got the authority that you have. You can't claim it until you know it's yours. If I give you my car out there, I say the first one up here get these keys can have my car. The one that gets that revelation will run up here and grab these keys and I'll have my car. That's like Don one time. He came out. He had $100 bills. He threw out one here and I was sitting right there. He threw out another one here. He threw out another one here. I think he had three or four of them. I don't know. He's rich. Threw them all out. Well, everybody just sitting looking at him. Didn't know what to do. I knew what to do. I grabbed one of those things. And it took him, I think, a couple of days to get it back. Did I give it right back? I don't remember. You got it right back? I couldn't remember. But I was like, this is mine now. It made his point because everybody else sitting there like this. One day the Lord's going to get the dead up. One day there's going to be a rapture. And I'm sitting there, got a revelation. That's in front of my feet. That's $100. Snatch. That's mine now. And that's where we need to be with this. We are the final voice. Don't sit around acting like we got to wait for God to do something. God is waiting on you. He's not the final voice. You are. He's already told you to get the dead up. He's already told you he's going to get up. He's already told you the times of just the world is gone. How long are we going to let this $100 bill lay here? We're not waiting on. I don't see any other scripture preventing us from the rapture. That's what our prophet said. That's what we should be saying. And that's what we should be calling for all the time. Because we are the final voice to the final age. Heavenly Father, we're grateful this morning to be that voice. It's so fitting that you put in the book of Revelation all the scriptures about the bride. Because everything you had, you moved into her. And she holds the key to it all right now. We're not needing anything else. We don't need another prophet. We don't need anything else. It's been given to us. Everything's lying in our hands. And God, help us to sincerely look at this thing, realizing the voice that we are, that all these things of this world will grow strangely dim, and we just push towards you with everything that lies within us, knowing that, Lord, it all belongs to us. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for this voice that you've given us. Now, Lord, let us use this voice to not just get the dead up, but to change our bodies, to move into a marriage supper that's waiting on us. We've already had the wedding. We don't hang out at the wedding all the time, but Lord, we got things to do. We got places to go. So Lord, let us move from this wedding. And though it was great, and you went all out for it, you dressed us, clothed us, and put us in garments where we can look at each other right, where we can actually understand that we're all after the same thing, that our friends of the bride are standing on the sidelines, clapping as you speak your vows to us. But Lord, we're past all of that now, and we've moved to the place now that it's time for us to leave the wedding and go to the supper. Well, we've taken the wedding pictures. We've seen all these things. We've greeted the people. And Lord, we're tired of this. We're ready now to go to the wedding supper where we can enjoy you. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for a clear understanding of this word. And help us to use it to finish up that which you have already given us the orders to do. Let us carry it out, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Come back tonight. Come expecting God to do something, because He always does. Yes, you may. Need a prayer cloth? I saw you, Renee, wherever you are. I saw you. You snuck that up there, didn't you? Huh? God bless you. You saw a need and took care of it. That's the way it is. We see a need. Let's take care of it. We almost act like we're waiting on God to decide to let us know something else. And I know it's a revelation, but the revelation comes by the preaching of the Word. And as we preach and we remind ourselves of who we are, then it should get easier and easier for us to accept what we're supposed to do. Amen. God bless you, Brother Mike. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this afternoon, Lord. Brother Mike has a request here for a prayer cloth. I don't know where it's going, Lord, but you know where it's going. Father, we pray that you'll send forth your word and let the healing or the answers come forth as needed. And Father, we'll never fail to give you the praise for all you've done. Thank you for our brother here having faith enough to stand in a gap, knowing that the prayer cloth is needed. And let his faith anoint this cloth as well, so that it can go forth, that we can get a testimony back of what it has done to the recipient of the cloth. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you, Brother Mike. You have a good day, sir. Living by faith, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. That's in the key of C. God bless you. Come back this evening. Services are at 7. And let's see what God has in store for tonight. Amen. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, as shadow or sunshine or rain. Oh, the Lord, I know, ruling for everything, and all of my worry and pain. For I am living by faith in Jesus. I'm trusting, confiding in great love, and from arms in its sheltering arms, I'm living by faith, and I feel. Return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er, and the Master so gently will lead us away beyond that bright heaven leaks shore. Oh, I am living by faith in Jesus above. I feel I'm living by faith.
In Jesus above, I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. Faith.